Now, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1. And if you will stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we're going to read together 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 1 through 10. I'll read the odd verses by myself and then you'll join me on the even verses as we go through. And it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Earlier this year, we had the privilege of receiving the Baptist Times. They were celebrating their 20th anniversary of printing this periodical. Of course, you may know Dr. James Raspberry was the one that pastored this church for the first 20 years. And you may know the events that have taken place since then. But there was an article written about our church last October celebrating 20 years here in Wiley, Texas. And I just, you may have read this yourself or maybe not, but I do want to read this article. It's very well written. And it says, on October 1st, 2000, about a month before the church's grand opening, Lighthouse Baptist Church held its first service in the fastest-growing suburb of Wiley, Texas. It was an evening service from 5 to 6 p.m. in the shared auditorium of the Wiley Church of God. And if I may say to you, that's this building right here. Okay, it is now Lighthouse Baptist Church, who had its own evening service beginning at 6:30. 11 people gathered for this first service, including the church planter's family of four. 6 missionaries were taken on from the start. Within a year, Lighthouse Baptist Church organized and purchased the property where the first service was held. The name Lighthouse was chosen because a lighthouse represents the work of the local church, standing tall and firm on the solid rock of Scripture while shining the light of the gospel to the ends of the earth. James and Amanda Raspberry, along with their two toddler daughters, were sent out of Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas, to start this new church in Saxe, Texas. When they moved to the area, but were unable to secure a meeting place in Saxe, God led them a few miles further to the next town, Wiley, where they leased the above-mentioned facility for services. After sharing the facilities for a few weeks, Lighthouse Baptist Church held its first full Sunday schedule in November and had a grand opening service with 30 in attendance on November the 12th. The church experienced steady but not spectacular growth as new converts were won, baptized, and trained. God began adding individuals and families. The Sunday school ministries grew, as did the evening services, and a Faith Promise missions program began. A van route brought boys and girls to Sunday school Over the years, this expanded into many as three bus routes. The house-to-house soul-winning ministry grew from two to a consistent average of over 30 each week. The ministry of the church expanded in many different directions, and it was exciting to see God at work. Of course, growing as a church has not always been exciting or fun. New churches often struggle before taking firm root in their city. It takes time to build new converts into pillars of a young church. People have come and gone. Finances have fluctuated, especially during the early years. There have been many disappointments and difficulties along the way, but God has been faithful and good. The church marches on. We celebrated our 20th anniversary this past year, despite COVID-19 and the attendance struggles, which all of our churches have grappled. About that time, Pastor Raspberry announced his resignation to follow the Lord's will in joining the faculty of Heartland Baptist Bible College. On October 25th, Lighthouse Baptist Church called her second pastor, Brother Eric Combs. We are excited about what God will continue to do through his church. Of course, that was the article written in the Baptist Times this past year. And may I say to you, just on this 21st anniversary of our church, I just have a statement, a comment, that I want to kind of mimic what Paul said here in 1 Thessalonians, is that I am thankful for the church. Amen. I'm thankful. I am thankful for the church of God. Look what Paul said here in Thessalonians. He said in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Can I tell you something? I am thankful for the church. And as the article kind of mentioned, the church marches on, and there are going to be times where things kind of flow up and down and such and so forth. But can I tell you something? God loves his church, and God loves the people of his church. And I can stand here today and tell you how thankful I am for this church and that our church is doing well. We're doing well in this community. Just look around. It's great to have all of you here in this place. And listen, we've had over the last several months, things are good right now in our local church. And we've had people come and visit and people going out. And you heard some of the numbers about people going out and visiting. This past Saturday, we had 24 people out on the streets in our cities, knocking on doors and inviting people, not only to church, but to Christ. And, you know, it's just exciting to see the church grow and see the church blossom and see the church do well and see the people, the individuals of the local church to grow as well. We're thankful to be here and be a part of this work. One of the fun things about becoming the pastor of a local church is the very first Sunday that I was pastor, our church grew by 13. I mean, it was amazing. It was a miracle. Thank you for laughing because I have 13 people in my family. Okay. That was exciting. An exciting day. I mean, just right off the bat, just automatic church growth. This is fantastic. But you know, we have seen growth. We have seen some people join. We have seen many visitors. And we have, and right now we have several repeat visitors. Yes. And I think maybe some of them will soon become members. That's a fantastic thing. But you know, it's about ministering to people. And I'm thankful for a place to minister. You see, God puts in the heart of his people to be a minister, to do the work of the ministry. And you understand that God wants us to be thankful. My life verse comes out of 1 Timothy chapter 1. It says, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You understand that we can be thankful to the Lord for the local church because he placed us here. This is, I talk to people about joining a church all the time. And I say, look, don't just join a church because you like the pastor. Please don't join a church for that reason. Or because it's just convenient or such and so forth. You ought to join a local church and be a part of a local church because you know it's the will of God for your life. Amen. You ought to know without question that being a member of this local church is the will of God for your life. And you ought to be thankful for the will of God. You ought to be thankful for the will of God. And we want to make sure that this church continues to grow, continues to do the work of God, continues to carry the torch for the Lord all the days of its existence, and that it continues on long after we're gone. You understand that we gather, you may have looked at the picture in the bulletin. Some of these people are no longer with the local church here for different reasons. And can I tell you, some of these people are still here, even though you may not recognize them anymore. They're still here. I'm sorry, I like to tease. I can't help it. But, you know, the thing is true is that after we're gone, the church should still be here, accomplishing the same goals and same tasks that a church is supposed to accomplish. And I just want to say today, I guess my heart and my thought was simply that I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for the local New Testament church that we can be a part of, that we can come and attend, that we can come and serve our God in this place. If you look back at our text that we read, Paul gives an introduction. He says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to reminisce on and be thankful for is that the local church is built upon the right foundation. It's built upon the right foundation, folks. That's what's wonderful, and that's what we can be grateful and thankful for the local church. It's not built on the traditions of men. Hallelujah. Yeah, and it's, guess what? It's not built on the pastor. It's not. You say, oh, well, what are you here for? I'm just here to point you to Jesus. That's all I'm here for. But it's built on the right things. Did you notice what Paul said? He said that the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some religions and some people have things built upon other things. Can I tell you, there is no other foundation. There is no other foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation. And we talked about in Sunday school that we believe in a triune God. So guess what? Jesus is God. So the foundation of the church is God. And the foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. We understand that in Matthew chapter 16, this is a verse often quoted by people. And it's a shame that they do not understand the English language. Because if they did, they wouldn't get this wrong. Jesus and Simon Peter are having a conversation. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can I tell you, I've had the privilege of visiting the Vatican twice. And you know what they claim? That the church is built on Peter's remains. They have a sepulcher there that's open and visible. You can walk down and see it. And I tell you what, anybody ever been there before? Okay, we got one. Wasn't that not the spookiest place you've ever been in your life? I'm telling you, the hairs on the back of my neck were standing up. It was so spooky. Anyways, you go out, you can walk down there, and you can actually walk by, supposedly, the bones of Peter. And it's kind of like they have a bulwark and things, all kinds of stuff. And supposedly it's the physical foundation of the building. That's not what Jesus was saying. And can I tell you something? The church wasn't built on Peter. This is not the rock that he's referring to. He's talking about himself. He says, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can I tell you something? I'm thankful for the church. That it's not built on a pastor, That's not built on particular people, but it's built on the Lord Jesus Christ and has the right foundation. You understand that the church is to be founded upon God and upon His Son and upon His Word. The church must have the right foundation to be successful. You know what? We as people have to have the right foundation if we're going to be successful. We can't build these things on our own flesh and on our own abilities. We must have the foundation of Christ in our lives. Take your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Many people attribute the beginning of the church to the book of Acts. Well, I hate to disappoint you, but the church began long before that. When Jesus called out the 12 to follow Him. He called them by name. You know what church means? It's a called out assembly. The church was started long before Acts chapter 2. And there were 120 people gathered in an upper room waiting for the promise of the Father in the unity of the Spirit, because they were all in one accord in one place. They were already a church. A church of 120 strong. And guess what? That little local church had grown by multiplied multitudes, and then many turned away and followed Him no more. Oh, that was while Jesus was in charge of it. You say, Jesus lost church members? Yeah, He did. Hey, but the church continued. And as they gathered in one accord in one place, are you there? In Acts chapter 2, and the Holy Spirit of God came and fell upon them, and Peter went out and preached. And look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You notice here that the church is growing. How can something grow if it didn't exist? Are you with me? It didn't say the church was started and these were the first 3,000 members. No, they were added to the church. You can't add to something that's not in existence. So they were added to the church. The church was already there. It was already existed and founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand it has the right foundation. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. All that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now listen to this. This is important. We're talking about being thankful that the church is founded upon the right foundation, is built upon the right foundation, praising God and having favor with all the people. Are you ready to pay attention? And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Who asked the church? The pastor? The deacons? The church members? No, whose church is it? It's His church. And who builds upon the church? He does. Who added these 3,000 people to the 120 that were already gathered together in the upper room? The Lord did. Peter didn't. The apostles didn't. The Lord did. And who continued to add to the church as they kept preaching and kept studying and kept witnessing throughout Jerusalem? The Lord did. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Hey, can I tell you something? I'm thankful for the church because it's built on the right foundation. As a church planter and his dear wife and two little girls came to this area, did they add to this church? No. The Lord did. The Lord did. The Lord added to the church throughout these years, these 21 years. God has added to His church. You know what? It's built on the right foundation. It has the right stuff at the very base of things. That is Jesus Christ. You understand? It is His church. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as Christ is subject unto the church, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You understand that this is about the church. It's his church. He is the one that is in charge of it. He is the one that is the head of the church. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him, this is Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Can I tell you something? I'm not the one that has the preeminence here. Well, you're the pastor. You're the head of the church. No, I'm not. I'm a pointer. This way, just give me one of those signs that they, you know, held out there to, you know, to send you to the H&R Block person or whatever. You know, I'm just pointing a sign. He's the head of the church. This is Christ's church, not Eric Combs' church, not y'all's church. It's his church. It's built upon the right foundation. You know what? And I thank God for that. Amen. Can I tell you something? I didn't grow up in a church like this. I grew up in a church that believed somewhat different things. Do you know what? I'm glad that God in his providence put me in the right place at the right time to find a church like this. A church that's built on the right foundation. You know what? You're a pastor. You went to Bible college and that's why you're a part of this church. This type of church. No. I'm a part of this type of church because I chose to be a part of this type of church. Because I believe it's the right kind of church. Built on the right foundation. Amen. You say, well, there's lots of churches to choose from. How do you know? If they're not built on Jesus Christ, don't even start. Got the wrong foundation. We need to understand that we can be thankful for the church because it's built on the right foundation. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul once again says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, again, built on the right foundation. You know what? After such and such amount of time, the church in Thessalonica was still built on the same things. You say, how long was it between 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians? I don't know, probably a couple of years that he wrote these letters to these churches. But can I tell you something? They did not change because they were built upon the right foundation. Can I tell you something? After 21 years, this church was started on the right foundation, and it's still on the right foundation. It's built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, but this church has changed pastors. Oh, it has. But it hasn't changed foundations. And I'm thankful for that. That this church is built upon the right foundation. Go back to our text if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verses 3 through 5. Paul says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Not only can we be thankful for the church because it's built upon the right foundation, but we can be thankful for the church because it's built to work and labor for the Lord. Hey, can I tell you something? This church doesn't exist just for you to come have a place to sit. You know why this church exists? So you can come have a place to serve. You say, well, I'm coming here because I'm going to work. Yeah. Yeah. You know, work is not a four-letter cuss word like some people think it is. All right? It's a good word. It's a good word. Work is good. Good, good work. Good work, good work. Good works. Oh. What? Aren't we called to good works? See, work is good. Good works. See how that works? Language is fun because you can play around with it and there's no rules to follow anyway, so you can do what you want. Some of you may not understand. I have this thing about love-hate relationship with the English language, okay? I love to hate it. And but I'm a math guy. I like absolutes, okay? But in Matthew 28, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to work. And the church is supposed to do a work. And Jesus came and spake unto them. Who's them? Who are these people? The church. You say, Matthew 28, that's before Acts. Yeah, it is. The church, like I said before. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You understand that the church has a vocation. The church has a work to accomplish. And the church is built to work and labor. Remember what Paul said. He said he was in remembrance of their work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, hey, we give thanks to God for you because you're servants of the Most High God. You labor and work and you do the work of the ministry. You see, that's just for the pastor. And that's just for the assistant pastors and for those that are volunteers in the church. No, it's for the church as a whole. We can be thankful for the work and labor of the church. Then can I say something to you? For a church to be in existence for this amount of time, I'm thankful for the labor. I'm thankful for the work of the faith of you all in this place. I am. I'm so thankful. Because a church that's built to work and labor is a church that's going to continue. It's going to continue. Because that's what God says we're to do. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me, unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Can I tell you something? They're supposed to have a process. They were supposed to preach in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That they were given a commission by God to accomplish something. This little church of 120. You know what they were really good at? They were really good at the Jerusalem part. They were. 3,000 saved and baptized, added to the church. Hallelujah. That is fantastic growth. And then later, 5,000 were saved, and later multiplied multitudes. Hey, they were really good at the Jerusalem. Do you know what? The church was built to be more than just Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 8, because they were staying in Jerusalem, God did this. And Saul was consenting unto his death, that's Stephen. And at that time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Why would God do that to these people? Why would God punish them for growing and preaching the word of God and doing such a great work in Jerusalem? He's not punishing them. It says here that there was great persecution and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of, Judea and Samaria. Huh. Doggone, I've heard that somewhere before. Let's see, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. That's exactly what it said in Acts chapter 1. Amazing. The persecution scattered them. And they all just wilted and died and shriveled up, right? Because that persecution was horrible to them. And it was damaging to the church, and the church just fizzled out because those poor people were persecuted. I'll shake your heads like this. No one. Are you reading with me here? It says here that they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Now listen to this. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, they didn't fizzle out, folks. They went everywhere preaching the word. You know why? Because they were built to work and labor. And I'm thankful that the church was built for that. And in Acts chapter 11, it says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. Wow! Did your mind just explode? They started in Jerusalem. And they were scattered to Judea. And they were scattered to Samaria. And now by Acts chapter 11, they're scattered to the utmost parts of the earth. Came true. It came true. Acts chapter 1 came true by Acts chapter 11. And they're going about and they're preaching the word. It says that even some of them were men of Cyprus in Cyrene, which when they were in Antioch, they spake to the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. Remember what the church is founded upon? Jesus Christ. And it's built to labor and work for the Lord. It says here, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Wow. Wow. Paul said he was thankful. Because he remembered their labor of love. And he remembered their work in the faith. And he remembered their patience in the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost of God. You understand that I'm thankful today for the church. Because it's built on the right foundation. It's built on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful today for the church because it's built to work and to labor for the Lord. I have many more scriptures that I could read to you about all the places that the church went and preached. You know of all the ones, especially in Revelation as is being written to the seven churches and all the things that were said about them and how God grows and builds his church to do the work. Just one in reference, as was written to the church of Ephesus. It says, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. No, I'm thankful to say that Lighthouse Baptist Church here in Wiley has been built to labor and work for the Lord. Listen, I was thankful to come and become pastor here. Can I tell you something? A lot of times, there's a pastor change because of difficulties. Because of bad circumstances. Maybe some wrongdoing or sin or difficulty in the church has caused there a need to become a new pastor. I can tell you that's not the case. I got to come into a place where there were people that were serving God and working for the Lord and wanting to teach Sunday school and wanting to have different ministries and programs and go out soul winning and serve in the music program and in the children's programs. And listen, I got to come into a wonderful situation and I'm thankful for it. Because this church knows how to work and how to labor and how to serve the Lord. I'm thankful today. I hope you understand my perspective, kind of as somewhat of an outsider coming in. I don't feel like an outsider anymore, by the way. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the church. Well, one more today. Go back to our text. And beginning in verse 7, Paul says, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And as was mentioned in the article about this church, the name Lighthouse was chosen for a purpose. And can I tell you something? Not only am I thankful that the church is built upon the right foundation, that the church is built to work and labor for the Lord, but I'm also thankful that the church was built to be a lighthouse to others. We're a lighthouse, folks. This is Lighthouse Baptist Church. And I'm thankful to be a part of Lighthouse Baptist Church. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 through 16, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men." Aren't you glad it's not Salt Baptist Church? That would work, but, you know, I think Lighthouse has a better ring to it. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know what I want? I want, when the name of Lighthouse Baptist Church is mentioned in this community, that they glorify God because of it. That's what I want. You know, I'm so thankful of the testimony of you all and of this church and this place. You know what? I can, not for my own pride's sake, but I can gladly walk through this community and tell people, hey, I'm the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church. I don't have to be ashamed about that. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Listen, not one person has thrown a tomato at me because I'm the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church. Not one person. 21 years in this community. And we have a good testimony for the Lord. I'm thankful for the lighthouse that we are to others. I'm thankful over the years the people that have come to the Lord Jesus Christ through salvation. I'm thankful for the different community events and outreach programs that have gone throughout this community, reaching people for Christ, being a light and a lighthouse to this community. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible tells us, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And I tell you, that's the testimony this church has in this community. And I'm thankful that the church has been built to be a lighthouse to others. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible tells us we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I'm so thankful the church has been built to be a lighthouse to others. We know that Jesus is the light, and His light is to shine through us to those that are in darkness. Can I tell you, those that are in darkness in this community, they've seen the light shown to them through Lighthouse Baptist Church. Listen, I've been through this community. I've knocked on the doors, and I've heard some testimonies of people who have been witnessed to, who have been reached through Lighthouse Baptist Church here in this place. And I'm thankful for the church. One more passage of Scripture, if you would. Turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. As we kind of reminisce on 21 years of the ministry here in this place, and can I tell you that I, as Paul said, I give thanks to God always for you all, making a mention of you in our prayers. Over in Acts chapter 26, Paul is rehearsing his conversion experience on the road to Damascus. And as he recalls, he said, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee," listen to this, "for this purpose." You know, Christ had a purpose in reaching out to Saul of Tarsus for salvation. You know, God had a purpose for reaching out to you for salvation. He has a purpose. Here's His purpose. He said that I have this purpose to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Folks, we've been saved for a purpose. And this church exists for a purpose. It's to be a lighthouse unto this community. To warn them that the jagged rocks of sin were going to crash their vessel and take them down, but that Jesus Christ can save. There's an opportunity for salvation through Jesus Christ. And can I just say, I'm thankful for the church. And I hope that this has been an encouragement to you today. It should be. It should be an encouragement today. I hope you're thankful for the church. For this local church. In this community, 21 years of service. And God has ordained this place, a local church in this place, for you to be a part, and for me to be a part. And we ought to be thankful for it. I'm just thankful for the church. I'm thankful for the foundation that the church is built upon. I'm thankful for the work and labor of love of the church. And I'm thankful for the lighthouse in this community that this church is. What a joy it is to be a part of this local church. Thank you for being here today. I hope that you remember and think on these things. God wants us to be thankful for the church.